Hey, this is Katarina Graham from The Vampire Diaries, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Lisa Lo Cicero, Olivia Falconeri from General Hospital.
And Brandon Barash, Johnny Zakara from General Hospital.
And hi, this is Megan Ward, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is Thursday, May 10th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Joanne Kubasek, your host for the night, and every show there is, as always. I'm so happy to be back on the air with you guys. You know, we did take a little break in production for a while, kind of revamped the website, and getting some bigger, great guests and some old favorites and dear friends coming back onto the show. And with that being said, tonight, a very good friend of Stardish Radio is back on the air with me, Miss Beautiful, Red-Headed, Gorgeous, Tana Frederick. Hello.
Hi, honey.
How are
I
you?
Miss you. It's so good to be back on the show. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you back.
I'm good. I'm gearing up to, I finished acting up. Very scary. It was my first directorial experience, and with Barbara Bain and two other wonderful actresses, and then I was in it as well, and we had a nice run, and now I'm getting ready to go out and film a movie in Iowa.
I know, and we also have on the phone Ron Vignone.
Hello.
Am I saying that right?
It's really good pronunciation. It's actually Vignone.
Vignone. Okay, well, I had a little bit right.
You rank very high. Usually I get Vignone, but Vignone is, you know, you have the European, it's just a little farther south, Vignone.
To the Sopranos.
There you go.
Vignone.
Well, welcome both of you to the show. I'm excited to have you. And Tana, you know, you're a great friend to the show, and I'm always excited to hear about your project. So, dish, baby, dish.
I love you so much. I've just been for a while, like, thinking about how, since there's a big scandal that happened in Iowa and stopped basically all the production of films. I mean, California kind of moved out there and started filming there, kind of like they do in Canada, and there were these great incentives, and then something happened, and nobody had fun because they pulled the whole thing. And so I wanted to, because I'm from there and because I, you know, have my film festival there, I really wanted to continue a way to not just showcase people's talent in Iowa and in the Midwest like I do with my film festival, but to give them a venue to explore their talent and to show their talent and to show off what they got. And so I came up with a program called Project Cornwhite.
I love the name.
You know, Iowa's got corn, hence the Cornwhite. And we have three projects that we're filming. And Ron Vignone is going to be filming the first two, the director of the first two. However, besides him being from Los Angeles, the rest, basically 95% of the cast and crew is from Iowa and is local talent. Or there might be a few people from Kansas or, you know, the Midwest, but we had over 300 auditions. I mean, 300 people came out to audition. This is how hungry the state is to film and to be seen. And these are people who are amazingly talented. So it's a low budget film, The Farm, but it's a beautiful script. We have Joel West, who's a Calvin Klein model, and he came from Iowa. He's playing one of my love interests. And then, Riley Smith is playing the role of Travis, and he is has been on lots of TV shows, and of course Tom Bauer, who is one legendary. I mean, he's amazing. He's amazing. He's playing my grandfather. So it's really exciting. But Ron can tell you about it too, since he's been.
Yeah, please, Ron, tell me.
No, we're really excited to do the film. And actually, Ken, I think right now we have an all-Iowan cast. There's not anyone who's not Iowan. So that's a very unique situation, and we're going to a very, very beautiful place. It's in northern Iowa. The locations we have are drop-dead gorgeous. It is Tana's hometown, which makes it very, very personal and also very a really pleasant experience, because the amount of people who want to come out and be part of it and help is just, it's heartwarming. It really is. And then they talk about Midwestern hospitality, and it's absolutely true. It's genuine, it's authentic, and it's been a real blast so far. We haven't even started filming, so I can't wait.
Well, I think it's fantastic. And Tana, you are so, so dedicated to Iowa and devoted to the people in that state and making sure they have that they're exposed to everything that you were exposed to by, you know, writing that one little letter that took you all the way out mm-hmm. to La La Land, you know. You are, you know, that lady who always gives back. And that's got to be some kind of thrill for that state. I mean, they need to, like, build their own Walk of Fame and, like, have a big-ass star with your face on it. You know what I mean?
Completely. I keep on looking for it every time I go back. I think, where's the Tana Frederick statue going to be?
Exactly.
It'll be behind the Meredith Wilson one.
It's honest to God truth. So. And I love the fact that you're opening them up and giving all these people jobs. And it's amazing what you do. I mean, really, really is.
Thank you. You're always so sweet and supportive. And you know, it's kind of selfish, like, doing something like this. It's more it seems like it's very, I'm doing favors for other people, but really I'm just doing a favor for myself, because, you know, it's watching people's faces as they get cast, as they, come to set, as they realize their dreams, that's mm-hmm. the biggest, excitement about it, and that's huge for me. I mean, to inspiration is a big deal for me, and when I see inspiration in other people's faces and I'm able to be a part of that cause of the inspiration, then I feel life is worth it, you know? So
absolutely. You're giving the Midwest, you know, a reason, you know. So listen, you've got the best Hollywood story I've heard. You know what I mean? From the Midwest, and I think it's just flat out awesome. And why should not anybody else be able to have their own story? So now, you know, you have yours, and now they have theirs and connect it to you. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a magnificent thing.
It's a degree of separation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, Ron, exactly. And Tana needs, you know, we're going to have to, like, get a hold of somebody out there and definitely build like a Rocky statue, you know, on some high ass steps so people can go do the jog there. And
yeah.
You know,
I'll be there with a pickaxe and, you know, some tools to do some
polishing. I'm serious.
I'm serious too.
So what else do we have going on? Talk to me a little bit more about the film. I love the fact that you're playing a single mother. Who's going to play your daughter?
A little girl from Des Moines. Ron, you take this one.
Yeah, her name is Riley Bear, and
mm-hmm.
she's absolutely lovely. She auditioned, and when Tana and I saw her, we just thought she was fantastic. She came as a recommendation to us through a producer of the movie,
mm-hmm.
Kimberly Busby, and she's just so right for the part. It's
right.
It's a terrific chemistry and fit between Tana and her as far as the story goes and basically their qualities. And the film is about, you know, as he says, about a single mother who returns to her childhood town, and that's at the time when her grandfather becomes ill. And she has to deal with her abandoned daughter, the daughter
mm-hmm.
that she had when she was 13 years old, and her past. And although that sounds kind of heavy, it's filled with some really great quirky comedy, very authentic human moments, and I just think it's going to be a terrific movie that
mm-hmm.
kind of makes people laugh and also well up with emotion, especially at the end.
Mm-hmm. Now, the mom, Kathy, had the baby when she was 13?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Is it 13?
Well,
about 16. We're working on the script.
We're still in development.
We're doing nothing but working on the script.
Yeah, it's like 13, huh? Okay. All right, well, listen, it happens.
That's the power of independent film. It's just
it happens every day. Why not?
I'm thinking maybe 15, 16.
I think that'd be pretty right.
Right. Okay.
15 or 16.
That's cool.
Okay. Joanne, you're a part of the creative process because you're
questioning. Look at that. Yeah. Well,
this
you know,
fun.
I mean, 13.
We're gonna have to give you a 13's
a little
movie.
Jerry Springer-ish.
What am I talking about? That, my God, that's totally my bad. She's 13. She's 13. She had her when she was 16. That's it. That's the deal.
The daughter is 13 now.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's the end of the day.
I know, right? It is. It is. That's okay, Ron. You're forgiven. You're allowed to these mistakes
you.
On here. No biggie with
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We love everyone.
We have this little independent film house here. You know, working with Henry is really incredible because we're working on the M word right now. Well, the M word is the next film, but Ron actually wrote the M word.
Mm-hmm.
Co-starred in the M-word and is editing the M-word. And, you know, it's not often that Henry takes mentors under his, you know, wing or any male, for that matter, under his wing. But
so
Ron and Henry have been working together for a long time and now. And so basically what happens is, you know, with all the technology available, Ron edits in the library all day and then does whatever he can in between, you know, for our movie, for the farm coming up at night or interviews or whatever,
right.
Phone calls, you know, he can take. And so, I mean, that's kind of what Hollywood is now, is multitasking. I mean, yes,
exactly.
We all would love to just be able to, like, sit on our couch and wait until the phone rings and then say, oh, I have a job and I better just train for that, you know, I better just get into that character. But that's not realistic, you know, in a lot of actors' worlds, it's just not available. So,
right.
You know, Ron and I kind of lead the typical lives of what young Hollywood is, which is you do whatever you have to do during the day to sort of make your projects, you know, when you can. And so Ron's incredibly he's a multitasker. He's a multitasker. So you're catching him at the end of the day when he's been editing with Henry for like 7 hours.
Oh my gosh.
So
listen, I appreciate it. I'm glad
I'm
that,
my second
you know,
I'm getting my
yeah.
second. Joanne, don't listen to her. I am on fire. I am ready to go. Happy the clown to be on your show and let's just do it. Come on.
Listen, I'm really glad that Lori got you to come on the show. I love when Tana brings people on. You know, we had Tana's dad on.
Tana's dad on?
Yeah.
Katie,
there's so many people. I can't even remember. I'd have to go back through the past shows to remember everybody that Tana always brings guests on, and I love it. It's great because, you know.
I'm part of the club now.
There you go. You are. Definitely are.
You are.
Know.
You're in the Stardust Club.
Why
haven't I been part of this club earlier?
Listen, well, because
how selfish
I was off
the
air for what? Maybe a good year now, I think. Yeah, I was off the air for a good year, so that's the only reason why you haven't been part. But now, you're back in. I think our third show, my third show back on. And you're in. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, well,
then
it's a real privilege.
You're there.
Yeah, and on that note, Joanna, how are you? What happened? I mean, I don't know
if you want
to talk
about
it on air, but I just want to know if you're okay, if you're doing okay.
Oh, no. I'm good. I was up in Buffalo for a while, and my dad had gotten diagnosed with the same cancer that I did, so I ended up moving back to Florida to take care of him. Being that I already went through it, I knew what he was going through. And, you know, it's different at his age. Well, I mean, not that he's even old. You know, he's only, what, 65. He'll be 66 this year. And it was just difficult for my mother because, you know, taking off of work and whatnot. So me and the kids, you know, headed down south. And we stayed down there. They finished out school. My oldest graduated high school, and now he's down there in college. And my dad is in remission. I'm in remission. Everybody's copacetic and great. You know, me and my youngest are back up in New York. And you know, so it was just time to bring Stardish back to life. You know, it's something that I love to do. And, you know, I miss it. You know, I miss talking to my faves like you and so many others. So it was just time to bring it back.
Congratulations. Aww. On many fronts.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And good for
you
for going back and going down that road with them. It's really, really impressive.
You know, it was hard because, you know, you see a lot of deja vu because when I was diagnosed, I was 32. I'm 42 now. And the chemo package they had me on was literally a clinical trial. It was a cocktail. So you don't know what's going to happen, you know, when you're doing those clinical trials. But,
right.
you know, fast forward, my father gets diagnosed with the same exact thing. And now he's on the clinical trial that I was on, but it's a set regimented chemo now. So he doesn't have to worry about a lot of the stuff that I went through. You know,
right.
I had relapses where
mm-hmm.
he's good to go, you know. So, but knock on wood, everybody's
good.
I'm
knocking on wood. Okay,
you know,
so
it's a good thing.
But
the important thing is that we're back and I get to talk to yous again. So, look.
Good.
There we go.
Well, Jim, my heart definitely goes out to you. I mean, this year, surprisingly enough, both my parents went through cancer issues.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom is going through that right now. And without going into details, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it takes it out of you. It takes it. I mean, seeing them go through that is
mm-hmm.
crazy. It's like an experience that you can't describe to anyone else unless somebody else has had the same experience with their parents.
And you know what, though, Tana, not for nothing, everybody's experience, whether it be the same cancer or not, you know, like I had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, my dad had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, but we both handled it differently, you know what I mean? You see all these people
yeah.
who've been diagnosed with cancer. You know what, I'm not, you know, Suzanne Summers where I can go and not lose my hair or, you know, Lance Armstrong and ride Tour de France. You know, everybody handles it differently
right.
physically, emotionally, mentally. You
yeah.
know, so I go,
yeah.
My heart goes out to anybody that has to go through a period. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's nice to have somebody to talk to about it that has an idea of what it is, but there's always something different about what that other person's going through. And for that, you know, I applaud everybody that deals with it the way that they do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's just, yeah, it's really strange. My mom just had her head shaved because
mm-hmm.
because, you know, her scalp was so sensitive to the treatment that she finally just got it shaved,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this is a woman who has invested a lot in her hair, let's just say. I love my mother, you know, she's amazing, but she's,
right.
You know, she's got hot hair. I mean, come on. And I haven't seen her pictures, seen pictures of her without her hair yet. But,
right.
but you know, it's like, okay, my dad called her Kemosabi. and it's kind of like, you know, whatever you can do to get through the situation, do it with humor, do
Absolutely.
It with positive
right.
energy, and laugh a lot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we laugh a lot. Like, I've gotten closer since my mom had this happen. I think it's the closest I've ever felt to my mom. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, I look at it as, you know, as not a gift, but, you know, something that is a blessing in its own way because she
exactly.
and I are really close now. I'm sending her, like, styling scarves and hats to wear. And, you know, it's just a way that brings families closer. It's something that
it
brings
does.
Families closer. Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And you know what? One more thing about that, and we'll move on from it, but I think the one thing a woman can always agree on with another woman, regardless of the type of cancer it is, when you lose your hair, that is bigger than the cancer itself. That is the most devastating part of it all. You know, I had my head shaved, too, because it started falling out. And I was like, oh, I just can't do this. I mean, I have, you know,
yeah,
yours is
yeah.
red, mine is blonde, but it's that long, thick, you know, mane.
As is my mom's. Yeah,
yeah,
as is my mom's.
Can't,
right.
You
yeah.
can't understand it. And it's like, oh, I went right to the me and my mother, I called my mother, and I was crying, and we went right to the wig store, and I sat there. I let the guy shave my whole head, fit me, and that was
wow.
it. And then I never looked back. But then after that, I got creative, and, yeah, I started playing with the scarves and the ponytails and this and that. And I started making my own wigs, and I would go to the beauty supply store. Oh, forget about it. I had so much fun with it that today, if I had
forget
to shave my
it.
Head, it wouldn't make a difference. I would definitely just do it and wear a wig.
Amazing.
Ah, that's so cool. That's what I need
you know,
to get
so
wigs,
it,
I don't know how that would fly in Iowa.
What do you mean?
The wigs in Iowa. No, wigs in Iowa aren't like a thing, but they should be because my mom would look hot in like a blonde wig.
Listen, man, get online and I'll tell you, Jacqueline Smith has some really nice wigs.
I love Jacqueline Smith.
Ken Pave.
Really
oh my God.
Line. What's her name? Sophia Loren has a good wig line.
Who?
Isn't she?
Sophia Loren.
Sophia Loren, yes. Well, hell, even Jessica Simpson does. And so does that hairdresser that she wears, Ken Pave. He's got an awesome line of wigs. I mean, I'm in Buffalo. I don't care. I'll wear a wig. I got no issue with that. I still wear hair pieces. Matter of fact, I had one in today because I get my hair cut so often now, I throw it up in a ponytail and it doesn't look thick enough. I'll throw a little full piece in there. I don't care. And I tell everybody,
That's so sexy.
Nice.
My mom was in Buffalo.
Huh?
If she were in Buffalo, if my mom were in Buffalo, she'd be having some good hair right now. But, you know, anyway,
no doubt about that, my dear. I would definitely take care of that.
Call her, girl.
Tell me what else is going on. Tell me about what's going on with your Project Surf.
Project Saver Surf is doing incredibly well. Actually, if you want to know the truth, my uncle is the president right now. And it's exploding, really. Like, it's amazing because, you start an organization like the Iowa Film Festival or like Project Save Our Surf, and then you hope that one day it's just going to kind of, like, pop out of its little nest and fly on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of hope for that, but you kind of, like, don't want that to happen at the same time. But I can definitely say that both have happened with both organizations now, and there is so much going on. We have this summer we're sending 60 kids to camp, underprivileged kids to camp in Orange County, and what happens is they go and they, these are kids who normally wouldn't be able to afford the camp. It's like $200 per kid, but we just got great T-shirts in, and if you go on projectsaveoursurf.org, you can not only donate to a child's experience at camp, but you could donate to, you could buy a cute T-shirt.
Kids
are really, we have this great T-shirt, like sexy T-shirt line now, like V-neck, and
yeah,
it's made out
the
of
best
all
t-shirts
of our T-shirts.
Ever made.
Yeah, and I feel proud because I found them, because the hit now is I'm designing my own haute couture line, my own fashion line, and it's all from post-consumer recycled material. So it's all used. Go ahead, Ron.
No, I was just going to say,
I said
you don't
wonderful.
Stop. I just want Joanne to know she really does not stop. She is a force of nature. Just the freight train just keeps rolling. It doesn't matter. And that's what's amazing about it. I love it.
It's like she's one of the hardest working actresses out there, and I think it's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, and just personally, she is the hardest working human being I know in my life. And I know some pretty hard working people, but Tana, almost to a fault because I care about her health, but she just does not stop. It's like, and she just comes blazing through. Unstoppable.
Nice. Well,
right.
I'm on the website right now, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, on the Project Save Our Surf website?
I'm on I just pulled it up. It says the store is coming soon, so it's not on here yet.
It's going up tomorrow.
Okay, wonderful.
They're cute, like, backless T-shirts. I'm going to post them on my Facebook tonight. For the girls, it's, like, cute backless T-shirts that on the front has our Con Surf Vation line. And then there's also some cute just V-necks. And for men, there's this really cool, it's kind of a 1950s design with a skater sort of conservation thing on the side, a big circle on the side. And all these are made out of plastic bottles that have been turned into material that have then been turned into our shirts. So it's not just, you know, it's not about just going to organic cotton or going to hemp or going to eco-friendly materials. For me, it's about going to materials that have already been used and would go into our landfills and otherwise could be turned into something awesome to wear. So I've been designing dresses, and we have this huge fashion show coming up. That's what I should fly you out here for.
Really?
We should be hosting our fashion show because, late July, we're going to be having a fashion show with all our new Project Save Our Surf designs and sexy designs like dresses and evening wear, but they are all made out of garbage. I mean, they're all made out of garbage and not, and in a sanitary way, because once you take these plastic, I mean, there's so much technology now that they take the plastic bottles, they filter them all out, not just plastic bottles, but a lot of plastic, and then they filter them all out, melt them down, put them through this process, and then turn them into yarn or thread or fabric. And so I have these great drapey, cute dresses that I've picked out from Vogue 1980s patterns and some great 40s designs and just really cute stuff that's going to be coming out. And I'm really excited about that. That's kind of the thing that relaxes me is designing stuff.
That's pretty amazing. I would love to see what that would be all about. You've got a pretty impressive board here with the Project Save Our Surf.
Ben
Ron, Michael Imperioli, and Tate Donovan, Sam Trammell. It's amazing. Now,
all those guys they're all amazing. I mean, it's really remarkable to see the faces. And Ron has been doing this. You can't tell Ron and I have been best friends for a long time, but
yeah.
You kind of have to be in this business to do something creatively together. It's good to do it with your best friend other than a complete stranger because, Henry was my best friend for a long time, and my partner. And then Ron came on and we're kind of like the Three Musketeers, but Ron has been on Project Save Our Surf since the inception 6 years ago, and
the early days.
It's amazing to see who turns out each year.
Right.
It's like people amaze me. The fact that Tia Carrera sang at an event at Falcon, that Sam played guitar when he's never played guitar since
that was amazing.
Or something. In public at one of our events, it's just so cool. It's just so great to see what people are willing to do to stand up for the earth and create change. And it's awesome. I mean, I can't.
Well, really, who's
going to,
somebody don't jump in feet first, who's going to? You know what I mean? And there you go again, Miss Jump in feet first on the surfboard. You got it. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're keeping everybody employed, Tana. What the hell are they going to do without you?
That's so true. That's such a great observation, Joanne.
Huh?
That's such a great observation.
I mean, it's true. Think about it, I mean, I know it's not just your mind that goes through it, but I know what I know from you. You know what I mean? Now I know Ron. I love the fact that you guys are so creative together, and, you're keeping things moving. You're keeping things going. You're keeping people's minds active and keeping people aware of these issues. If you didn't do it, who's gonna? You know what I'm saying? The government ain't going to step up and do
it. Yeah, and that's always been kind of the mantra that I was born with, is or raised with my mom and dad. well, who do you think is going to do it if you don't do it? So you mm-hmm. have to be the first one to speak out about it. You have to go do it yourself. And if somebody follows you, fine. If they don't follow you, then you keep going and you find somebody else to follow you and you make things right. You know, it's always been kind of the attitude that I've been raised with, you know. Right now, for example, the otters, There's a no otter zone rule in California, and mm-hmm. I'm working with Santa Monica Baykeepers to try to ban this stupid law that they have, because what happens is the otters are going extinct in California, and mm-hmm. what happens is the boats come down these big to the bases, and the boats run over the otters, because if we were to, you know, it's so stupid. If we were to, say, come up with a law where there used to be one where they were fined, say, $100 per otter that they hit and killed, mm-hmm. then, you know, that requires paperwork, that requires money, that requires all this stuff, and that the government doesn't want to have to deal with. So,
mm-hmm.
So I'm working really hard to bring back the otters to our population, because the otters not only are beautiful creatures and adorable little suckers, but they mm-hmm. also break up the kelp beds. They actually break up the kelp beds. And then they take, you know, take kind of like bees. So they take things that need to be pollinated or certain kelp that needs to be taken to one place. They know to do that, and that's just in their body, their instincts. And so now there's these big-ass kelp beds that are floating around, and people are complaining about it. And it's like, well, maybe you shouldn't be running over otters with your large boat.
Yeah. You know? I mean, they definitely should be, Steve. You know, I lived in Florida for a good 15 years, and they have laws in place to protect
the
manatees.
Oh, God,
manatees.
Are you going to talk? Oh, God.
The Florida Manatee Sanctuary Act of 1978.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is. The manatee, the fines, those who are convicted, I'm reading this right off the website, those who are convicted of violating the Florida Manatee Sanctuary Act of 1978 face a maximum fine of $500 and or 60 days in jail. These fines and penalties apply if the violator is convicted at the state level of government, should the violator also be found guilty in a federal court. I mean, and that's just because the home of the manatees are the inner waterways of Florida. I mean, you can't go anywhere in Florida waters without seeing a manatee. And people go through speed in there. I mean, and what's really sad is to see them, even if they survive, to see how many cuts they have in them.
Oh, God. Right. I know. It kills me. I can't.
That's what they need.
God.
They need those strict penalties where people, you know, kind of have to, you know, slow your roll, buddy, because you're going to go to jail. I mean, not even just because of that. I mean, that's somebody's house. You know, that's their home.
Yeah. And it's just, it's about prioritizing. And I think, you know, I feel very lucky to have an organization that I invite anybody who listens to your show or any show to come on and join us at Project Save Our Surf, voice your concern, voice your issue. You know, we're like the SOS for other organizations. I mean, I just got this message today about the sea otters, and they need money. So right now we're doing a big plug to raise money for stopping mm-hmm. the extinction of the sea otters.
Okay.
But SOS is kind of, you know, we're like, not only do we have our own hands-on projects with kids and with building wells for in third world countries where they don't have water, but we're also, you know, we're also listening to what everybody else says, and we're listening. We're a group that is, you know, surpasses boundaries. So if somebody were to call me from Florida and say, hey, we need help with that, I'd probably, you know, send a crew out there and do what I could, or try to raise money for them, or, you know, start a campaign on our site. So we're just kind of like trying to, we're a very open organization to anybody who has a concern, who has an idea, who needs help, who believes in
right.
in the conference. Like, we're for you, you know, so write us, us what you see is going to stay in your area, and then let us figure out how to help you.
Right. Girl, I don't know what they do without you, I'm telling you. I really don't know. Seriously.
It's true.
You know, you're the female version of another person that I say the same thing about, a young actor director, and he's basically keeping all the soap opera stars employed by, or keeping them on the screen at least, because everybody, all the soaps are dying off. It's like used with these grassroots projects. It's the way to go right now, you know, and people
so
are watching
sad.
And listening.
I know.
True.
What is going on with that? I know you know more about this world than I do, but all the soap operas,
oh,
why are they...
This
why
is they... really, it just boils down to network executives and money, really. I mean, they canceled All My Children after 40-some-odd years. They canceled One Life to Live. You know, I mean, made all these people on All My Children move from New York to Los Angeles, and then a year later canceled the show. It's like, what? These people that were lifelong New Yorkers got up, moved, when they knew all this was going to happen. Basically, they wanted to put cheaper reality TV on because they produce. And the shows that they put on ABC right now in place of All My Children and One Life to Live, I'll be flat out and blunt and say they suck. They're stupid. I mean, there's nothing.
Yep.
There's so many shows on there on television like these ones. They just don't belong on a network station like that. You know,
right.
The Chew, The Revolution. Who cares? The Chew is like another kind of...
My grandma watched All My Children. My mom watched All My Children. My aunts watched All My Children. We'd talk at Sunday dinner after church
about
all
my
children.
Children.
It's
you
like,
know, it was like crazy.
Come on, this is a generational, like, family sort of heirloom almost, like, passed down. Like, do not put Big Brother and Big Sister 18 on.
Yeah, you know, well, basically what they did was the show that took the place of All My Children is called The Chew, which was what they wanted to be.
The Chew?
Swear to God,
okay.
The Chew. And it's so god awful. And they basically wanted it to be like a fourth hour of The View, you know, like NBC did with the Today Show kind of thing. So they took Mario Batali, which he's a great chef. Listen, I have nothing against him. I have nothing against the people on the show at all, really. It's not their fault. But this kind of show belongs on the Food Network. It belongs on the Cooking Channel. It belongs over there. It don't belong in the place of Eric Kane.
Yeah.
And then the next one after that was supposed to be The Revolution, following the steps of The View. It's canceled. It's garbage. You know, they killed off One Life to Live for nothing, really, because the ratings were so low. They were paying actors to come sit in the audience.
Oh, my God.
You know,
ridiculous.
I mean, it's crazy.
That's so sad.
Yeah, but, you know, it is what it is, and they're all out there in California making their dues, and this will be the last daytime Emmys for those two soaps, and you'd think they would have thrown Susan Lucci a bone and at least gave her a goodbye Emmy, but they didn't even do that. So, you know, it's a sad situation when it comes down to it, that the world is being taken over by reality television.
It's certainly strange, that's for sure. It's really, really odd.
Well, you know, what's really funny, or sad, I should say, is that it does all come down to the dollar. They're saying that people just weren't home watching soaps anymore. But if you think about it, the Nielsen rating system is so half-assed. It's not caught up to technology yet. It doesn't count the DVRs or what you watch on the Internet. So the viewers are there. Just because you don't see them on your little ticker doesn't mean that they're not there.
Yeah,
you know, and that's that was the problem with it. And truthfully, the president of ABC Daytime at the time, Brian Franz, hated soap operas. So what the hell was he there for? He hated soap operas. He totally hated it.
Oh,
and,
God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has since stepped down from ABC Daytime television. So
there was like a huge chance in hell of the. soap opera.
You know,
is actually
it's just crazy.
On.
It's sad. But, you know, this the guy I was telling you about, his name is Gregory Martin. He's actually from Yonkers, where I'm from. I grew up with his family, and he's a young buck, and he's a creative director, writer, and he does this webisode, web series called The Bay, and he's got every actor of daytime television royalty pretty much with on these little web series things that he does. And he just got nominated for an Emmy for a web series. So go for it.
Oh, that's terrific.
Oh, my
that's
God.
Great.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That
I mean, it's
really
it's
terrific.
Pretty awesome, you know, what this kid is doing. And he's, again, there's no money really in web series soaps yet. But
right.
I know that they are shopping around for a television show, a television station for him, whether it be cable or pay TV, whatever. And, you know, God willing, he gets it because, you know, he's just so focused and determined, you
well,
know, just
well,
so
you
know.
I think what's going on right now, Joanne, is that there's people aren't making money for really anything right now.
Right.
To be honest with you, in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
people are creating self-funded, self-created projects. And I think what makes this exciting to me and not dismal is that whether it's a webisode, whether it's, you know, a new indie flick, you know, like Ed
mm-hmm.
Burns' flick, whether it's something, you know, we're something's going to pop pretty soon. Like, something cool is going to pop because everybody's going after making their own projects with the camera and the cameras and the technology available now. Everybody has access to compete with ABC. They can compete
mm-hmm.
with the big boys. I mean, Ron is the first person who can tell you about that. I mean, he, you know, he was an editor for Sony for a long time and created his own film, Say I Do, which he won tons of awards. I'm his cheerleader, actually, you know. You
uh-huh.
can't already tell. But he got lots of awards at film festivals for what he did. But it was a, you know, it was a new way of filming. Ron had done, it was almost Big Brother before Big Brother took it over. It was kind of
uh-huh.
like in your face, like two cameras. I don't know. You can describe it better, Ron.
Well,
tell me, Ron.
But thank you. You're doing such a good job. she's
you're
my best PR person in the world. I couldn't ask for someone better. But no, outside the very nice compliment, I made this movie called Say I Do, and I definitely feel now that it was. This is hard to say without sounding like I'm full of myself, but I'm not. It's just an observation that it really was ahead of its time, because
mm-hmm.
it's about a wedding day that goes completely wrong for all the right reasons, and it's all done from the point of view of the best man who has a video camera along with the party. And they're on a road trip. They get lost. They get stranded. They land in the middle of nowhere. And then until they're basically stripped down to next to nothing in, you know, from their formal attire, and in the middle of the Mojave Desert, and
the wedding party is waiting for them.
It's the big question comes up of why are we doing
darling.
This? And it's very, very, when I look at it now, I think, I should say when it was being shopped around, people didn't really understand it because they thought it was real. They literally, and I had some very fairly heavy leverage helping me shop it around town.
Mm-hmm.
And people were saying, but is this real? I don't understand. Did this? And we took painstaking measures to make it as if it was really happening, and it really worked against it at the time. Now,
right.
Because it was fictional.
Yeah, it's totally fictional. But since then, because of reality TV and the way I think our popular culture has now embraced that entire method of or experience of telling and absorbing a story, it now plays as if it was, you know, a send-up of those movies. So it's a
mm-hmm.
really interesting concept, and it's still a great movie, and it's timeless, and you'll find its home one of these days. But back to what Tana was talking about.
You would
about.
Love it. You would love it. I mean, it's like
I'll send you
Blair
a copy
Witch
of it.
Before Blair
oh,
Witch.
Oh, I love it.
Without,
yes, definitely.
Without, like, the BS horror stuff in it, it's about the human dilemma and about you know, a man and a woman have rented a limo, and everybody's waiting for them at the wedding party, and they're stuck out in the Mojave Desert, you know, and it's a charming film. It's beautiful, and I'm not just saying
that. Oh, I'd love
to say
it.
It's very nice. I don't know. But, you know, it's fun because it starts out where these people are so mired in the trappings of what a wedding is and the need to be perfect. And their dilemmas along the way challenge every bit of powerlessness in them. So it's quite a powerful film. And when couples see it together, they often end up in arguments. I've had therapists come to me many times, not just a few times, but therapists will come out and introduce themselves. I'm a marriage counselor. I'm a therapist. I'm a relationship, et cetera, et cetera. Do you understand what you've tapped into here? And that's really encouraging and fun.
That's awesome.
But it doesn't mean anything anymore because it doesn't have a home. But it's still, again, back to what Tana was talking about in terms of technology and in terms of the shakeup of things and really the landscape being the wild, wild west again. I think everybody creative, everybody who loves making pictures and telling stories through the craft of motion pictures and video now, you know, they're testing the boundaries. And every week something new changes the game. And maybe not every week, but every month. And that's pretty extraordinary. Every month. It's really amazing. And so, you know, it's just finding the back door and how to monetize that to keep doing it, because unfortunately it's a very expensive craft. And if you're not independently wealthy, it's hard to mount a movie, even though you do have cheap cameras and amazing things. But still, it's in the palm of your hand now, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a democratization of making movies, and it's an exciting time to be alive and making movies. It's extremely exciting. So.
Well, it would be great. I mean, honest to God, I would love to see a bunch of indies get together and kind of just topple down that big mountain of suits, you know, and just kind of take it over a little bit.
I think that's happening.
We're going there. We're
going
there. It's on its way, but I want to see it full already, damn it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm sick of this.
Joanne.
You want bullshit. That's what you want.
I'm ready to take on Clooney and Pitt. I mean, that's all I can say. Throw them in the ring with me.
Listen, I'm ready to take them on too, Tana. Let's, you know, hey.
Right on.
Take them on.
I mean, I think their films are amazing and beautiful. I just want to be in the boys' club with them. Like, I want to, and I'm so excited about the film that Ron and I are making, because if you can make a film for, let's say, $80,000 or less that hits people, that affects people, that doesn't gross, you know, $200 million the first week or $200 billion the first week, but nonetheless, like, just starts on fire and gets to everybody, then that's amazing. And I just feel like the world right now is kind of quietly simmering for what is the next pop-out thing going to be? What is it going to be? It's going to be something incredible and inspiring, especially in these times when we're, you know, these particular economic times. I think the world is looking more for hope and more for artists and more for creativity, and I really think, like, people such as Ron and myself and Christopher, our DP, like, the stuff that we're going to be doing in the next year is going to be really exciting, and they are going to be really blown away by all these unknown talents that appear on the screen and the story that's being told and Ron's guidance. And, you know, it's just a small example. It's just a small example of what I would like to happen starting in Iowa, spreading out toward Minnesota, Wisconsin, Kansas, you know, Illinois. I mean, I already have Illinois, you know, the Illinois SAG people, like, supporting me, which is great. The Chicago SAG people supporting me and going out further and further and further until people are really feeling comfortable with themselves and creating their own films, creating their own voice, creating their feelings, and they don't have to do it through a huge, high, you know, $12 million budget film.
Right.
And most importantly, I think it really comes down to you don't need some figure or
company of authority to grant you the permission to do it. It's a big deal. It's a big shift. You know, I mean, for a long time, people needed to feel, and because it was reality, if you did not have that entity behind you, well, then even if you found a way to cobble together something, beg, borrow, and steal, and put it all together, it was still, after everything, you were back at square one in terms of how to get that picture out into the world so you have an audience. How do you connect with your audience? And the great X factor now, of course, is the Internet.
Mm-hmm,
and the
absolutely.
Internet is just, it's, you know, growing exponential every day. And back to both of your point before, you know, there was a time when the Internet, no one believed that, no one saw a way to make money off of the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
No one found a way to monetize it.
Right.
And now, I mean, look at what's, you know, it's, do I need to say more? It's just amazing. Just amazing. So,
every equalizing factor. It's the Internet is a great equalizing factor, and as far as big studios and indie films, I think because we just came back from this festival in Dubuque, where they agreed to put up money for this film that I've been writing forever, and Ron brought to me, called Serendipity Green, and they wanted to. They're interested in funding it and distributing it, and it's going to be a part of Project Cornlight. Dubuque is in Iowa. But the exciting thing is we met with all of these guys who were not filmmakers. They were Ron? Like the advertising
they each represented another angle in this prism of distribution and basically how to connect a film with an audience using the new modicum of a delivery.
When you don't have any money and you're completely broke, like how can you make the Internet work for you, and how can you make your film still get out there?
And most importantly, these guys are coming at it from how to make this film work for other people, so then there is a viable product of which then that comes back to the filmmaker so you can continue making films. It was very inspiring. These guys were really on the ball, and it was not a dog and pony show. They were genuinely passionate and really, really knowledgeable about what the hell they were talking about. And that was fabulous because I know it's been cooking for years, but these guys had honed it down to their specific discipline. And and I felt like, wow, we are in a room of very, you know, this is the nexus of a new power. It's really, really something special.
Yeah.
Well, I think
sorry, I didn't mean to battle on
you
there.
Two are something special. And I think that Iowa should be proud to have Tana as their first daughter of entertainment.
Absolutely.
And
God
you should be
you.
Dubbed that.
God
not joking. I'm kidding. I'm dead serious.
I adore you.
Come on,
I've never known anyone to love
a state. Don't
even
get me started. You know I don't hold back on that kind of stuff. You know, pay your dues where it's due, and you are just friggin' awesome.
Yeah, you are. And I've never known anybody to love a state so
that's the thing,
so
right, Ron? I don't care who you are. I mean, maybe, listen, I look at, you know, Robert De Niro as the quintessential New Yorker, but, and he always comes back to his home roots, but you, Tana, take it to another level.
Yeah, you did, totally. You're so right.
You take it to another level. Robert De Niro has the power to do anything and whatever. He, I don't even think, has done one movie where he used nothing but New York actors, nothing but people from the Bronx, nothing, you know, from any of the five boroughs. You
are
doing
really?
That right here. I mean, just because he made all Italian movies don't mean they're all from the Bronx, because that ain't true.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like you are doing that.
Yeah, hardcore.
Well,
you know,
thank you,
so,
Joanne. I mean, that's so sweet.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
and
it is what it is.
It's
and
not,
you are definitely in love with your home state, and I think that is completely admirable, and your home state should be recognizing you for that.
Well,
I agree.
I'm
just
in love,
saying.
I'm in love with I am in love with their talent and their perseverance and their encouragement and their humbleness and their creativity, because I'm just one of them that, like, I don't know. I made it out there because I had a lot of out here, but because I had a lot of support, but I just will never stop continuing being somebody else's support, you know, because I owe, not just because I owe that to people, because I get excited about it, because I can't, the people that we've cast in this movie, it's so amazing. I mean, Dick Shino, who is a family friend, he's of my mom's side of the family, wrote this script, The Farm, and he's written 21 or so screenplays, and this is 22. This is the first one, and he's, I won't say his age because he'd kill me on here, but this is the first one that is actually being made, and to see that happen and justice served is like, I feel like Captain America with a cute little, like, I don't know, tight corset on.
Wonder Woman is more like it, I think. But sure enough. And you are just listen, I want to come along for your ride. I want to know everything that's happening. And I'm so grateful for Lori to always think of me when it comes to you and everything that you're doing. You know, it was so great. She kept in touch with me pretty much all this time that I was off the air. And I sent her the email, and I told her, I'm back. Oh, my gosh, that's great. And Tana,
right.
You were the first one. Tana, yes.
Joanne.
That's great.
That's
really great.
I won't stop until you and I are actually, like, sitting down at Thanksgiving dinner.
I'm serious. It's going to happen one of these days. It'll happen. It'll happen.
No kidding.
It definitely will. I have no doubt
and
about
Ron
that.
And Ron was born in New York. Like, you were born. You weren't born in New York, though. You were
I was
born
in New York. I was born in Yonkers, New York.
Okay.
Right.
Ron lived in New York. You were born?
I was born in New York. I was born. Huntington Hospital, Long Island. And all my relatives were from Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Brooklyn was
another planet,
you know, I mean, it's out there, you know, it's pretty far from Yonkers. Yonkers is like on the borderline of the Bronx area.
Yeah.
Out there.
But I seem to love New Yorkers, and I just think, like, we need to plan next Thanksgiving with all your kids coming, Joanne, and Ron cooking for everybody in his family.
Oh, look at that. Hey.
And we just
have
this great,
like, gathering. My kids want to go to California. Are you kidding me? They're always pestering me to go. Christian, since he was little, always wanted to go to California, but he's, you know, grown now in college. But Tyler, when can we go to California? Huh? When can we go to California? One day, buddy. One day we'll get there. It's funny. But anyway, listen. Yeah, right. Well, look, I told him he could go out there. I said, you could go out there and you could become the big actor, because he's just like the drama kid of all time. So, yeah.
How old is he?
He's going to be 12 Halloween.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, my other one will be 20 December 1st. So, yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, you'll see. I just sent you a friend request on Facebook, so you'll see my kids. They're always my profile.
Yeah.
So you'll see them. So, but
when we get off
this
the
has
air,
been
we're gonna go
such
look.
A pleasure to have the both of you on, and Ron, it has been the biggest pleasure, you know, getting to talk to you and getting to know you. Tana,
likewise.
I'm so glad that we got to catch up again, and I know what's going
Me
on
too.
In your world.
Oh my God, it's like catching up with any of my family members. It just feels so good, and I'm just really happy we got to have some time together. So thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
always
you
behind
very
you guys,
much.
No matter what it is, just a phone call right. away.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
I will be putting
Joanne.
A link up to Project Save Our Surf on the Stardish website. Keep me posted on The Farm and other projects, and those will go up as well.
Great.
You
yeah,
got
cross
it.
Your fingers for us. Thanks.
All right,
yeah.
guys, thank you
Thanks
so much for calling in tonight. Everyone, thank you to Tana and Ron. Keep yourselves glued to Stardish for the latest and onto the website for the latest what's going on with them. In the meantime, make sure you tune in tomorrow, 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for actress Alicia Minshew, formerly of All My Children, Kendall Slater, who was Susan Lucci's Erica Kane's daughter. So she'll be coming on to catch up with us and her move out to La La Land herself and what her life's been like since the ending of All My Children. Tana and Ron, thank you so much again. Love yous to pieces. Have a great night.
I'll love you to pieces.
Love you too.
And God bless and thank you.
You
so
too,
much,
guys.
Sweetheart.
Have a good one.
You all, I always leave feeling so happy. So love you.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
We'll talk
thanks,
soon.
Man. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.